Lots already been said this morning. Are you still up for a sermon? I just heard laughs, not yeses. Okay. All right. Well, I'll move forward with it then, if that's all right with you. I want you to begin by thinking about times in your life that you felt the most pure joy. So we have happiness sometimes. Sometimes there's something that's kind of fun, but maybe there's a little guilt involved in that. But what are some of the times in your life where you've just had pure joy? I think Dick mentioned one today as he was talking about that time where, you know, maybe you're just surrounded by family and there's just that peace, there's that joy that you have. As I think about times in my life, one of them that I think about is, you know, when I'm back there in that baptismal. There's just pure joy anytime I get to do that. Obviously, leading someone to Christ, the day I got to marry my wife, each time I got to hold my brand new baby in my arms. Those are those moments where it's just joy. It's just pure joy. Now, could you imagine what it would be like to just live in that? Wouldn't it be great if that was just our day-to-day existence, was just that pure joy? Well, our theme for Advent today, the theme today is joy. And actually, we'll see a little later, we have a special pink candle just for joy today. And so what I want to do today is we're going to look at a story in Scripture where people move, there's this group of people, and they move from being terrified to having just inexpressible joy. Now, how do you move from being terrified to having incredible joy? So what I want to do is we're going to look at the story, we're going to read through the story, and we're going to see if we can learn to follow this same path that these guys went on to move from the life of being terrified to being in complete joy. And so our scripture reading today, actually, hopefully our technology works because I have a special guest reader that's going to be joining us today for our scripture reading. And so we're going to go ahead and let Linus kick this off for us today.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid, and the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. So that was Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. I'm going to go ahead and pick up in verse 15 and read last few verses of that section for you. Beginning in verse 15, it says, When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, as we come today, I ask that you take this well-known passage, this scripture, this story that we've heard many times, and you would show us a little more of the incredible depths of it. I think there's things in here that we've probably never realized, that we've never heard. There's definitely changes in our life that we've probably never made. That need to be made because of what you've shared with us here in your scriptures. And so, Lord, bring it to life to us today. Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross. I ask that you would just move me out of the way. I thank you for the privilege of being the one who so often gets to stand and speak your word. But Lord, I just ask that you would use me, or you would just throw me away and do something completely apart from me. Whatever needs to happen today, Lord, so that we can hear from you, I ask that you would make that happen, Lord. Bless us now with your word and your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, we get to see this group of shepherds go from terrified in verse 9 to praising and glorifying God. You can see them almost dancing their way back out to the field, praising and glorifying God. What was it that took them from terrified to incredible joy? This is the path we're going to walk with the shepherds today. The title of the message today is Finding Joy in the Birth of Jesus Christ. And here's how we walk through this. Number one is reverence in God's presence. That's what happened at the beginning. The second step that they go to is awe in God's word. Third, obedience in God's mission. I don't know if you realize it, but the shepherds had a mission. It's not something we talk about very often in the story. And finally is joy in God's salvation. And as has been our theme throughout our Advent series, it's not just about what happens in the past, in the first coming of Jesus Christ, but what is happening now in our lives as we prepare for the second coming of Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going to be doing today. So let's begin with those first couple verses, the reverence in God's presence. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flocks. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. They were terrified. God shows up in a big way in this passage. We're so familiar with the Christmas story, we don't really realize who it is that stands in the presence of God in the story. We've come to accept these shepherds as just part of the Christmas story, right? They're in our little nativity scenes. We have kids dressed up like shepherds every year. I mean, shepherds are just part of the story, so we're used to it. But we need to take back a step and realize when this first happened, how incredible this was. Because in this society, these were not well-respected people. Shepherds were not high or honored in any way. In fact, quite the opposite. They often slept outside with the sheep to keep watch over them. So they were dirty and stinky. That's who they were. That was the kind of work that they did. And actually, because of the nature of their work, they were most of the time ceremonially unclean. Not only were they dirty just because they were physically dirty, but they were also unclean, meaning they couldn't go to the temple and worship quite often because of the nature of their work. They couldn't go and worship like everybody else could most of the time. So they were seen in society also as being unclean quite often just because of their work. So when they realize they are in the presence of God, they are terrified because they know we don't belong in the presence of God. We shouldn't be here. And the fact that God has all of a sudden shown up is terrifying. Is terrifying. Now, I want you to know this. Holy fear is the only proper response to standing in the presence of God. And we take that for granted today. We don't think about that very much, but when you stand in the presence of God, there should be a holy awe. There should be fear. There is very literally, in the shepherd's case, terror standing in the presence of God. So as we look forward to the day that Jesus is coming again, we got to look at our own situation. Where are we at? They stood, as we know, in God's presence. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. But where are we at today? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says this. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you have been bought at a price. And where is the presence of God now? Filling you, within you. Now, where do we start? The only proper response to being in the presence of God is that holy fear. Do you live every day of your life? Do you make every decision in holy fear that you're currently standing and living in the presence of God? Boy, that would change our everyday decisions, wouldn't it? That holy fear that God's presence lives within me. And you can read more in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because it's pretty extreme. But that's the way you're supposed to live your life. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Spirit of God? So honor Him with everything you do. Second thing we see is awe in God's Word. Verses 10 through 14 back in Luke chapter 2. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger.' Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angel, singing, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors.'" So they're terrified. So thankfully, the angel's first word is what? "Don't be afraid." There's actually a great little bit of trivia, in case you didn't know, for the Charlie Brown Christmas. You know, Linus always has what with him? He's always got his blanket, right? And in fact, a big part of that Christmas special is, you know, Lucy at one point is trying to get it away from him, and there's nothing she can do to get that blanket. That's a safety blanket. Well, there's this great moment, in case you didn't catch it, where Linus, as he's talking through his, you know, through this passage, and he's quoting the scripture, and when he says, "Do not fear," you know what he does? Drops his blanket. "Do not fear." And so this is the moment. This is the moment where we find that peace and that comfort, and we're in awe of what God has to say. God has a message. Now, the first incredible part about this message from God is that it's given by angels. Now, we know all these stories of angels in the Bible, but believe it or not, it's a rare occurrence. Angels do not just show up in front of people in the Bible. It's very rare. And so this is a huge deal. But not only are there angels, but there are a multitude of angels singing glory to God in the highest. Now, you think of the greatest men and women in Scripture, they did not get to see a multitude of angels singing. I stand in awe when David Phelps sings, "O Holy Night." I can imagine what these shepherds saw. So they're standing in awe of the angels. And then secondly, look at this word of God. What is the word of God? The message starts out really great. Great news. A Savior has been born to you. The one who will rescue you, the Messiah, has been born. And then it gets weird. Now we're used to this part, so we don't think about it. But it gets really weird. You'll find him wrapped up and laying in a feeding trough for animals. Now we're used to that, right? A manger, no big deal. But think about the shepherds for a minute. Have you ever had a friend who recently had a baby, so you go to visit them? And you're like, "Hey, where's your baby?" And they go, "He's laying in the dog dish." That is what the shepherds just heard, okay? That is the message they just heard from the angels. They had this incredible word from God, but it was so strange. It was so different than anything they had heard before. They weren't even expecting a baby, let alone a baby in a feeding trough for animals. What is going on here? And so they're standing in awe of this whole thing. I can't imagine how much their minds are blown at this moment. Standing in awe of the sight. And so as we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ, what exactly do we have? What do we have today? Is it a story from an angel? Is it a multitude of angels singing? Do we have something that incredible like they had? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "This is why we constantly thank God. Because when you received the word of God that you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a human message, but as it truly was and is the word of God, which also works effectively in you who believe." What he's saying there is when you received the gospel message, when you received the good news about Jesus, it wasn't just good news. It was what? God's word spoken directly to you. Brothers and sisters, we should regularly stand in awe of the fact that we have the whole word of God. They had a little tiny bit of a very confusing message about a baby Messiah that they weren't expecting in the dog dish. And they were standing in awe. We have the story from beginning to end. Do we stand in awe of the word of God today? The third thing that we see in this story, in this journey on their way to joy, because right now they're still really confused, is obedience to God's mission. Back in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the feeding trough, exactly like they had heard. And after seeing them, after seeing what had happened, what did they do? They reported the message they were told about this child." They reported the message. Why do you think God chose shepherds? You ever think of that? Especially now that we know exactly who the shepherds were, what kind of work they did. I don't think it's a mistake. I think the reason he chose shepherds is because they wouldn't sit around and mull over the theology before they took off. They also didn't go, we might be able to make some money off this. He chose shepherds because shepherds were like, oh my goodness, why in the world would God speak to us? We got to go see. We got to go see what he's talking about. They were excited to go see it, and they were excited to go tell everybody about it. God had done this amazing thing for them, and if they were to just keep it a secret, no one would have known about this incredible news. God had a mission for them. He had a mission for them. This was good news for all people. Remember verse 10 back there that we just read? Good news for shepherds. Good news for who? For everybody. So shepherds, go tell them. Shepherds, go tell them. So what does this mean for us today as we look forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ? The shepherds got to tell the beginning of the story. They got to say, hey, the Messiah has been born. Salvation got kicked off. It's on its way. What do we have? The rest of the story. Okay, anybody, Paul Harvey? Anybody know? All right. For you youngsters out there. When I used to drive to Denver every Monday for seminary, I'd often listen to Paul Harvey. He wasn't on the radio then, but I could download Paul Harvey and listen to it on the way up to Denver. And for those of you who don't know, it was a radio show. So there used to be shows on the radio you would listen to. Oh, it was an early podcast, okay? That's what it was. It was the Paul Harvey podcast. And he would tell these stories, and they were so great because he'd tell just this story about a young kid. He'd tell this great story about a kid. And then he'd go, you know, and that young man grew up to be Abraham Lincoln. And now you know the rest of the story. We know the rest of the story. We know what happened after that manger. We know what's going to happen in the future even. That's how much God has revealed to us. We know the rest of the story. The shepherds knew just the very beginning, and they were so excited. And since this is good news for all people, we're carrying on the mission that the shepherds started. They began the story, and we get to finish telling it. At my dinner table at night, my kids get so mad at each other because one of them will start to tell a story and the other one will interrupt because they want to finish the story because it's such a good story, right? Anybody's kids ever do that? Oh, they get, I was telling the story. Well, guess what? We get that privilege. We're going to be like, oh, the shepherd started this story, but let me finish it. It's such a good story. It's such a good story. So remember, you know, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Jesus starts by saying, "All authority in heaven has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And don't worry about it because I'm with you the whole time." We are called to continue sharing the good news that the shepherds started obedience to God's mission. Last thing today, and here's where the joy comes in, the joy in God's salvation. Here's how our story ends today, verses 18 through 20. It says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Here's where joy comes into the stories. They go away glorifying and praising God. So where did that joy come from? Here's where it came from. They were in the presence of God. They received the word of God. And they were obedient to that word. And then they had what? Joy. Let me tell you that again. They were in the presence of God. They heard the word of God. And they were obedient to the mission of God. And then they had joy. If you're missing a lot of joy in your life, maybe you've missed some of those first few steps. So what does that have to do with us today as we wait for the second coming of Christ? The shepherds were overjoyed because they got to be a part of announcing the dawning of salvation. We get to announce the completion of salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That should give us unspeakable joy. Let me show you what that looks like. Let me show you an example. This is a joy I have not grasped yet. But I'm hoping to someday, this kind of joy I'm about to show you in Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Says, after they called the apostles and had them flogged, beaten, okay, whipped, they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and released them. Then the apostles went out from the presence of the Sanhedrin crying and sad. How did they leave? Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to be treated shamefully on behalf of the name of Jesus. Every day in the temple and various homes, they kept silent because they were scared of being beaten again. Now, what did they do? They continued teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. That's the kind of joy I want to figure out. I'm not there yet. I'm working on it. But man, I want to be there. I was complaining to somebody during first service that I had to wait forever for him to open cabinets for me at Walmart the other day to get out $4 Legos. And then I got stuck in a bunch of traffic and it ruined my day. I did not get flogged yesterday. That's the kind of joy I want to find. That's the kind of joy that comes from being in the presence of God, hearing God's word, and being obedient to his mission. I can think of no greater source of joy than being the heralds of God's salvation. I can think of no greater source of joy than being the heralds of God's salvation. That's what the apostles knew. That's what the apostles did. So let me very quickly put this into practice for you. What does this mean as you leave this place? Number one, we can live with power and bravery in this world because we have the most fearful thing, the presence of God living within us. Romans 8:31, if God is with us, who can be against us? Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You can leave this place in boldness because that presence of God lives within you when you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Number two, we can be bold as we walk through this world because we have the authority of the Word of God. We have the authority of the Word of God. How many of you have watched a YouTube video and then went to work or your family or your friends and spoken boldly because you think you have the right political answers because of a YouTube video you just watched? Brothers and sisters, we have the Word of God. We can speak boldly. The Word of God is sharper than any sword, Hebrews 4:12. Number three, we've been given an incredible legacy, an eternal mission. Be obedient. Be obedient to it. Started with those shepherds and we carry it on today. And here's what we learned from the shepherds. It doesn't take any special wealth or power or position or skill or education to obey God. Number four, we have news of the Savior. Be joyful. We have news of the Savior. Be joyful. Go away rejoicing like the shepherds and rejoicing like the apostles, because we get to be the ones that bring the news of the Savior. So, to close today, I'm going to invite our Advent reader and our candle lighter and our band to come back up with us today. I think Jace is going to light the candle and Mila is going to read for us today. And then we're going to do these two things, and then we're going to not end with a song. Sorry, we had a funny thing happen first service. We're going to sing a song together, and then I'm going to close this in prayer.
The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert will rejoice and blossom like a flower. It will blossom abundantly and will also rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon will be given to the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the weak hands, steady the shaking knees. Say to the cowardly, be strong and do not fear. Here is your God, vengeance is coming. God, retribution is coming. He will save you. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame will leap, and the deer and the tongue of the mute will sing for joy. For water will gush in the wilderness and streams in the desert. But the redeemed will walk on it, and the redeemed of the Lord will return and come to Zion with singing, crowned with the unending joy. Joy of gladness will overtake them, and sorrow of sighing will flee.
Every
have joy in Christ's first coming. John 15:11 says, I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. And we should have joy in Christ's second coming. John 16:22, so you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice and no one will take your joy away from you. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time today. Thank you for the incredible joy that's been shared in this room in so many ways. In your scripture, in singing praises to you, and hearing about your mission being fulfilled to the ends of the earth. Thank you for the joy that we have when we come together as brothers and sisters in your name. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would teach us to be in your presence on a regular basis, to stand in awe of the fact that you have spoken your word to us and dig into it as much as possible and listen intently to what you have to say. That we would be faithful to the mission that you've called us to, and that in those things we would find pure, unspeakable joy. That is our desire, and we know it's your desire for us as well. So accomplish those things in our life, Heavenly Father. Lord, I ask that you bless our time of fellowship now as we eat together. As we make plans for our coming year, Lord, I ask that everything we do would be in submission to your will, would be in submission to your plan for our church, for our community. Heavenly Father, I ask that everything that we would do would be because it's what you have planned for us to accomplish your mission and the place and the time that you've put us here at Mesa Christian Fellowship. So, Lord, let our fellowship be sweet. Let our business be in accordance to your will. And let our time be fruitful here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.